Okay, we're going to talk about yours, mine, and ours, challenges facing blended families. And my guess is, if you're doing marriage counseling, you're counseling some blended families. So let's think through this. In this session, I'd like to begin by having you assume the role of someone who is a step-parent. Now, I'll probably switch you back and forth in this session between the role of step-parent and that of a counselor several times, and I'll probably forget to tell you when I'm switching you, so you're just going to have to figure out, what am I right now? Am I a step-parent? Am I a counselor? What am I? You'll figure it out, I'm pretty sure. Okay, for now, please take the role of a step-parent and be thinking about what that would be like for you as we proceed. Here's what it'll be like for some of you. One stepmother said, being a stepmother is like setting your hair on fire and then trying to put it out with a hammer. One author says, disillusionment is nearly a universal experience for the adults in stepfamilies, and it occurs soon after remarriage. Believing that remarriage will release them from the bondage of divorce, loss, loneliness, and painful emotions, many couples remarry. The wedding seems to mark a release from oppression. At last, they think, I'm loved and important again, and my children will have the benefit of a two-parent family. This is going to be great. Remarriage for most adults seems to be their second or more chance on life. Life hasn't worked out the way they planned, and the trip has been painful. But things are looking up. They've fallen in love again, and the dream of a normal family life has returned. Sadly, for many of you, that's not going to be the case. Approximately 60% of remarriages will end in divorce. So, for all of you and you guys, you're going to get remarried. As I made you a step-parent, remember? You're going to get divorced. That's what's going to happen in your marriage. Divorces happen more quickly in remarriages, with 50% occurring within 5 years as contrasted to 7 years for first marriages. The most often cited reason, anybody want to guess? The most often cited reason? Children. Whose children? The husband's. Problems with the husband's children. And that figure includes both residential and non-residential stepchildren. In fact, statistics indicate that 50% of marriages break up due to problems with the husband's children. So for you 60% that are getting divorced, all of you, it's because problems with the husband's stepchildren. That's what the statistics tell us anyway. Okay, in this session, I'm going to focus primarily on the adults. I'm not going to focus on the loneliness, the confusion, the anger, and fear of the children. I'm not going to cover the guilt that they feel over loyalty conflicts, but we all know, whether I address it or not, the children in blended families are suffering and struggling also. And just because we don't have time to discuss it in this session doesn't mean it should be ignored. I've mentioned some resources at the end of your notes if you want to investigate that further. One of the many things that blended family members will face is isolation and loneliness. This is usually felt most keenly by the new step-parent. One stepmother's weekend experience describes this. She said, it was an awful weekend right from the start. First of all, after working all week, and I really had a bad week, my husband Tom gets us up at the crack of dawn on Saturday. Then we raced up to New Hampshire to pick up his son, Ricky. Ricky chattered a mile a minute to Tom the entire way back. I felt as if I was invisible. I was invisible. Nobody talked to me. Tom didn't even look at me. Ricky didn't have the slightest interest in me. This is the time I need to reconnect with Tom, especially after such a hard week, and I felt like I lost him to an 8-year-old. An 8-year-old who didn't even know I existed. Not a very happy ever after, is it? She married and found loneliness. Things that can be done automatically and with predictable results within the biological parent-child relationship, deciding what to eat, talking about how to organize their day, deciding what game they're going to play. They require a whole lot more effort, and they have awkward results when attempted in a new relationship. So if you're the adult biological parent in the relationship, what are you probably going to be drawn toward? Your new spouse, who you don't have it all figured out yet, or to where it's comfortable and easy and you already have patterns. What are you probably going to be drawn toward? To what's comfortable, right? We're not saying that's the right thing. We're just saying that's probably where you're going to be drawn. So the pull is to continue to rely on the biological parent-child relationship rather than invest in the effort in a new relationship between the husband and wife. How's that going to make your new spouse feel? Like Jenny, the stepmother whose experience I just read to you. It's going to make you feel like I am invisible here. Loneliness and isolation may also be experienced by the biological parent. Biological parents may have believed that remarriage would ease their burden and instead found now the burden's heavier. They may feel torn and exhausted by trying to meet the needs of everyone in the family. They may be torn between giving attention to spouse and children. And when a new spouse doesn't share affection for the biological parent's children, that may increase their sense of isolation. Tom, the father of Ricky, the husband of Jenny, said, "I left my marriage when my son Ricky was a baby. I never really had a family with him. Then when I married Jenny, I felt like I was finally going to get a chance to have a family with Ricky. It just seemed natural that we would all do everything together. Jenny is such a solid person, I just knew she'd be great with him. It never occurred to me that it would be any different. It was such a disappointment to me that she didn't enjoy him the way I did." So Tom marries, expecting that things are going to get easier, that they're going to have this family, and instead, the isolation increases for him as well. Step families can be very lonely places to live, even more so because you didn't expect it to be lonely. You thought it was going to be different. In Psalm 25, we hear the psalmist crying out in loneliness. "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish." That could have been the cry of Jenny, couldn't it? I'm lonely and afflicted, and my troubles have multiplied. It could have been the cry of Tom, couldn't it? The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Like the psalmist, they need the Lord to turn to them and be gracious. God is powerfully at work in the broken situations of life. Jenny, Tom, and all the others like them need not become one more statistic of brokenness. Every member of the blended family can cry out to God as the psalmist was doing in Psalm 25. Listen to how he starts his cry. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God." God loves his children. When his children turn to the Lord in trust, he draws near. Psalm 145:8, James 4:8, lots of other places. When his children turn to him in trust, he draws near. When his children cry out to him, he parts the heavens and comes down. Psalm 18:9. When his children ask for wisdom, he gives it generously. James 1:5, he forgives sins and pours out his love in our hearts. Romans 5:5, Colossians 1:14. He is truly a father we can trust in times of need. Because of our need and our loneliness, Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely and afflicted. Because of our sorrow, Jesus knows what it's like to be overwhelmed with sorrow. Because of our isolation, Jesus knows the rejection of those he loved. Our beloved chose to suffer and be overwhelmed with grief so that our eternity wouldn't be filled with loneliness, affliction, and torment, and so that our present could be filled with hope. So Jesus becomes the one whom the psalmist lifts up his soul